good to be here in God's house this morning. We will be in the book of Luke when we get to the Bible. The book of Luke, chapter number 3 this morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. We're so grateful God sent visitors our way. Thank you for choosing Lock Haven Baptist Church to come and worship that with us. And we trust you'll have an enjoyable experience while you're here. And we will be thrilled to get to know you a little bit better, come by and visit with you, and let you know more about our church and how God can use you here at Lock Haven Baptist Church to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've got a good crowd this morning. We're glad for all of y'all showing up. Be in prayer for those that are sick with colds or flus, whatever it may be. Sister Stacy's still out, still feeling bad. Be in prayer for her. And if I don't shake your hand today, it's because I do have a cold and I don't want to pass it on to you. I want you to be able to have no reason why not to come back tonight to church and Wednesday night to church. So, if I shake your hand, you get sick and say, well, preacher gave it to me, so I'm not coming back. I'm not sick. But please forgive me for that. It's not not being hospitable. It's just I don't want to share my blessings with you this morning. So what a blessing that is. Well, Johnson brought me a magazine. And I'm not here to promote a magazine or anything like that. It's called Airboat Magazine. Goes all over the world, even to Canada, for $5.95. There you could buy this magazine. Today you did an article on Brother Johnson and his life in this Airboat Magazine. It's not a small article either. It's a pretty big article. It covers about 3 whole pages, maybe 4. Pages, but then there it says this, Johnson seems most eagerly interested in the well-being of the less fortunate. He recalled a time when he, the church preacher and another man, flew to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to pick up a handicapped equipped church bus and drove it back to Lock Haven Baptist Church. Didn't have to tell them all that, did you? Amen. Then over here it says this, Johnson spends every morning from 6 to 8 o'clock at the end of the street fishing in the lake. Not on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. He spends Sunday morning at church service in Lock Haven Baptist Church on Boggy Creek Road, where he is a parishioner and often can be found cooking church crisp fries and volunteering at church functions. Johnson, I appreciate this article. I really do. Appreciate your faithfulness mentioning the church. You know, a lot of times, this man would have never known Brother Johnson went to church here unless he told him. So in other words, if Brother Johnson can tell this man about where he goes to church, I think all of y'all would go tell somebody.
Amen.
Where you go to church.
Amen.
Well, it's a good crowd this morning. The reason we got a good crowd this morning is because we're faithful to witness of Christ. Y'all be in prayer for our church. You know, this morning's the first Sunday without our pianist. They moved down to Key West. God's faithful to bring us another pianist there. And you folks that play instruments, guitars, violins, fiddles, accordions, and things of that nature, trombones and trumpets and whatever. This is the best time in the world to get started playing. I know what you're going to tell me. Pastor, that one does not go with any other instrument. It has to go with other instruments. That's an accompaniment type instrument. It has to be played with other things. Your boldness to come forward and start to play may encourage someone else to come forward and start playing. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I can hit every note. You'll never know if you can ever know. And if you're singing where I'm over there at, you won't be able to sing and play every note. Because my notes don't go with the notes that are in the books. Y'all remember the Christmas play the teenagers put on? Carrie, you had to get that portion, didn't you? Look at her grin. She recorded me when I said my little part, and my kids have not let me live that down yet. And the boys made fun of me. Nobody would stand near me while I was singing. Not even the boys in the choir. was wondering why there was 3 feet out of way, 3 feet down, and here I am all by myself. I scooped out of way and they scoop up. Listen, it's not about how you play, it's who you play it for. You will get better. Will you make some mistakes? Sure, you'll make mistakes. You'll end up playing, Amazing Grace while we're singing Old Rugged Cross, but be okay. You just play and sing for the glory of God. But be in prayer for a church as we pray and seek God's face for God to lead us, somebody else to come in and be a pianist and play for us, whether man or woman, doesn't matter. Somebody loves God and serves the Lord, want to be faithful and loyal to the Lock Haven Baptist Church and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to supply. I know he will. He will. So, if y'all want that article put in y'all's memorabilia for Lock Haven Baptist Church, it's the Airboating Magazine. Airboating Magazine. Right there you go. This is my copy, so y'all take it. And I'm going to keep that one. That's good, Brother Johnson. Any way you can, just keep the Lord before this old lost and dying world. Found this. This is a thing about fifth graders. Five and six-year-olds praying, not fifth graders. 5 and 6 year olds praying, and this is the prayer of some of them. What they kids pray are a unique thing. It's something that's needful. They don't learn it on their own. They need to be taught. Here it is. 5-year-old prayers. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Norma. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have now? Dear God, who draws the lines around the countries? That was Dan. Oh, this is Neil. He said, Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? All right, here's a good one. This will help me. This will help you here. Dear God, it rained for our whole vacation. And is my father mad? He said some things about you that people are not supposed to say. But I hope you will not hurt him in any way. You're free. But I'm not telling you who I am. I want to protect his daddy. Well, his daddy's saying all kind of things, huh? Here's one. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Here. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but I was really asking for a puppy. All right, here's a good one. Maybe Cain, dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works well for me and my brother. Amazing thing, little kids' mind, isn't it? The way they think, just so innocent. Just love each other, love people, and they do have an argument. You know what? If they fought for 2 hours there on the floor over a block, in 10 minutes of being done, they would not have remembered.
Right.
It had been played again with Legos or something else 10 minutes later, never even thought nothing else about it. Well, it's amazing when adults get involved. It seems like things carry on for ages. I mean, years, months, and weeks, and time just continues to fly. And, all of a sudden, 15 years later, it's brought up again because adults got involved. Well, we need to have tender hearts. We need to be willing to forgive one another and just look at how we were and how we are as an individual and just allow God to do some cleaning in us. We forget things when people are truly sorry. Luke chapter number 3. Verse number 1, when I hit verse number 8, let's all read that together, if you would, with me. Verse number 8, we're going to read the whole chapter. Now, I did not name all these people that we're going to talk about, but Luke chapter 3, we're going to go through them. We're going to read. verses 1 through 38. I want to hit verse number 8. Y'all read that together with me. That'd be a blessing and a help. We're getting into the ministry of John the Baptist. And then, of course, toward the end is the genealogy of Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse number, chapter 3, verse number 1. Luke chapter 3, verse number 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judah, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etura, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, Ananias and Sapphias, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptismal repentance for the remission of sins, as it was written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crook shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and being not saved within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized. That's the tax collectors. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? He said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat unto his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Verse 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of Easily, which was the son of Nagi, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah. Verse 27, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Rehis, which was the son of Zorobabel, which was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adi, which was the son of Kosum, which was the son of Elmodim, which was the son of Ur, which was the son of Josie, which was the son of Eleazar, which was the son of Joram, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Levi. Verse 30. Which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonah, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menah, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson, which was the son of Abinadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Pharez, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Thera, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Sarah, which was the son of Rahel, which was the son of Phelek, which was the son of Eber, which was the son of Selah. Verse 36, which was the son of Cana, which was the son of Arphax, which was the son of Sem, which was the son of Noe, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Miel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Lord, have mercy. Pastor, why did you read all of that? Just to show you that you could read it next time you do your Bible study. Because I know you get to 1st, 2nd Chronicles over there, and then into portions like this, and then over there, like in chapter 5 of Genesis, where it starts naming all these folks. You say, why? Why in the world am I even attempting to do it? I think it's very unique. About every fourth or fifth one, there'd be somebody with a reasonable name. Somebody came to their senses. I mean, all of a sudden you'd have Levi mentioned, then you'd have David mentioned, then you'd have Judah mentioned, then all in between there. I don't know what they were mentioning. It's a good thing they weren't all my kids, because the other day, I tell you, I was riding down the road, and one of them was doing something, and I just started rattling off all the names that I got from the one I did. If I had this, it would be like us speaking another language. It would be. I'm telling you, some of them are harder now, but I'm telling you, these here studies can be very helpful to you if you'll take your time to get into the Word of God and go back, see what the names of that person means, and where, what he did, where it's from, and who he was, and how he interacted with God, so that we can learn from him how to interact with God or how not to. Sometimes that's pretty important, because you go back and study the kings, dear friend, I'll tell you. And God would say something like this, and he'd name the king, and he said, and he did that which was right in the sight of God. Well, if he did that which was right in the sight of God, I think that'd be somebody who I'd want to look at. Then you'd see something like this, and he did that according to which his uncle so-and-so did. Well, when this is that, that's a warning. He done messed up. We don't want to follow that. We want to go with that which one was pleasing to the sight of God. So we begin here in John chapter Luke chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 22 basically is the ministry of John the Baptist there. And then the verses, the latter verses cover the genealogy there. And we're going to spend a little time in that just to go over it. But we're going to spend most of the time here in the first earlier parts of Luke chapter number 3. In verses 1 through 3, you find the time and the place of John the Baptist and his ministry. And it names there, verse 1, now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, Caesar. And then it names the Pontius, then it names the Tetrarchs, and so forth. Then verse 2, it says, and Ananias Sapphias, there the high priest. So what God did was here, he gave us a way to go back and to verify whether or not this man named John was actually somebody. And he didn't give us just a religious side. He gave us a secular side. He gave us a religious side that we can go back. We could actually, if you study and was an archaeologist, go back and to dig down, you could probably actually find his jail record. Because he was arrested, was he not? That's what the scripture said. Why was he arrested? Was he arrested because he was a thief, a criminal? Was he arrested because he was a extortioner? Was he arrested because he rose up a group of men that was going to try to overthrow him? No, he was put in prison because he told one of those tetrarchs that, hey, this woman that you're married to is your brother's wife, and it is not lawful. And he ended up in jail for telling the truth. Isn't that amazing? So God laid down where we could actually go back and find out who and what and if this John the Baptist was somebody that is truly biblical, that is a real person. And so that we don't have to wander around knowing that this is really a real person. So you have the time, the place of his ministry. In verse 2, you have the reason of his ministry. There, you read there in verse 2, midway through, it says, the word of God came unto John. The word of God came unto John. Listen, John did not one day wake up and say, well, I'm just going to go get me some camel's hair, some honey, and some locusts, and I'm just going to start dipping them in the wilderness and see if I can just draw a crowd. John did what he was doing, why he was doing, because God had directed his life in such a way, and so his ministry was this way because the word of God came to him. Let me tell you something. It's very important to understand this, dear friend, that if God asks you to do something, just do it. No matter how odd it makes you look, because I'm telling you, he looked kind of odd. You walked up on John the Baptist eating honey and wild locusts, get him dressed out there in some camel's hair, a leather girdle, and walk around, and what'd he say? I would like y'all to come to my services. You know what he said? You old generation of vipers! You snakes, low down belly snakes. I mean, it wasn't a popular message, by the way. So it had to be of God, and God wanted us to know that. That there are folks that are a little different that are still of God. Look at the life of John Baptist and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know Jesus was God, and Jesus was the Son of God. I know and understand Jesus was 100% God, 100% man, but their lifestyles was completely different. John the Baptist was one that would not enter into a situation that looked in any way, shape, form questionable. Matter of fact, Jesus said himself, he wouldn't go. I go to the parties, I'm a wine bibber, and he's somebody that's a maniac. Right. But listen, difference is not always wrong. Right. Now, things that are different are definitely not the same. New versions of the scripture that's going around here today, they're not the same, dear friend. They're not the same at all. You can take them, you can lay them side by side, and you can test them visually, intellectually, and spiritually, and find out that these new versions that's out there in the scriptures of that's in the bookstores, they don't do nothing for you. They're much confusion, by the way. You look at them and let the secular world lay them out and study them on a reading scale. They are much higher levels of reading scale it takes to understand many of the new versions over the King James Bible. So, hey, listen. Different people act different and live different, and they're different from different places. That's not always bad. I'll tell you, there is nothing that can go contrary to Scripture that come out good. Nothing that can go contrary to the Word of God. No person can live in such a way that it is contrary to Scripture and it did not affect somebody else, because then that would make Scripture a lie. You know the Bible says this: no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. So we must have an understanding that the Word of God must be our direction. It's our compass. Though John the Baptist seemed different, and he was different, he came for a purpose, dear friend. And his purpose is found there in the Scripture. It says that he came to prepare the way straight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he got out there, and he preached baptism, repentance, he preached remission, bring forth fruits, and let us see that you are changed. And he presented that, but then when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to him, he said about him, I am not even worthy to unlatch his shoe. You know, John said in another portion of Scripture, go back, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And let me tell you something. That works today. I think we're a little bit too full of ourselves nowadays. I think sometimes we stand too often in the arm of the flesh, where the arm of the flesh has failed us time and time and time again, instead of walking and yielding to the Spirit of God. Well, I just don't want to go against the flow of things. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You walk with God and you're going to go against the flow of things. It's just that simple. You're going to go against the flow of things. He came preaching, and teaching and promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we promoting here at Life Giving Baptist Church? We need and must, and it's got to be our whole goal, is promotion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, our philosophies, our opinions, and our intellect and our education, dear friend, is not going to keep souls out of hell. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that died on that cross of Calvary. And it is the unadulterated Word of God that will change lives. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm a little concerned about folks who live the same way that they lived for the last 5, 6, 7 years. They've been saved about 10 years now. There should be some change working out in your life, dear friend. John the Baptist said, look, I am doing what I am doing because of the Word of God. He had confidence, dear friend. He had confidence in what he was doing. It was like a pioneer spirit in him. I mean, it was just amazing. He had plain, pointed preaching. Look what it said in verse 7. He told them their condition. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generations of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Plain, pointed. What was their condition? They were lost. Religious, but yet lost. My friend, we have so many religious folks in our churches today that they're going to, without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him, they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. See, salvation doesn't begin in the intellect. For with the heart man must believe unto righteousness. I'll tell you, when you yield your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and set it before God, the Bible says, in faith in Christ and repent before God, you shall be saved. There's a lot of religious folks. They know a lot about God. They speak about God. They talk about godly things. They talk about things of God. But their heart is very far from Him. Their heart is very far from God. And John the Baptist said, hey, who's warned you? It's condition. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I have sit where you are sitting this morning. And the flesh does not like to hear my condition. The flesh, listen, if I'm fooling around with gambling, the flesh does not want to hear a sermon on gambling. If I'm fooling around with adultery, the flesh does not want to hear sermons on adultery. But that's my condition. If I'm fooling around with liquor, The flesh does not want to hear liquor. If I'm in rebellion to my parents, my flesh does not want to hear. The flesh is not what we need to feed. Amen. It is the spirit.
Amen.
John the Baptist laid out their condition. He said, "You generation of vipers, who warns you to flee?" And then look what he says there. Look at verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. Not only present their condition, dear friend, he called them to repentance. He gave them an opportunity to change their behavior. That's what imitation is all about, dear friend. That's why when we preach sermon after sermon, we pray and we seek God's face, and at the end of the altar call, at the end, we give an invitation. Hey, I'm the one that believes, dear friend, if I'm in the first point, if I was bothered by the condition, if I was where you're at today, and I was bothered that I said, that preacher said, if I'm in gambling, and preacher said something about gambling, and it bothered me, at that point right there, I should be coming down to this altar. That's how I believe. I don't believe it has to be a traditional thing when we wait to the end of the service. I think we need to talk with God when God speaks to us. Well, people might think, I might interrupt the service. Different, well, what might happen? You might get your heart right with God and prove to somebody else that, hey, they can have boldness to come get their heart right with God. You don't have to wait to the invitation time, but hey, he called them to repentance. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be presented with problems of life and sins of this world and sins of the flesh and not give an opportunity to get right. But it's like my wife could come to me and we have an argument and she writes a long 50-page letter to me about all the things I've done wrong and all the areas where I failed as a husband, as a father, as a parent, and she lays it there on the table and just walks out. It doesn't give me opportunity to get right. That's not too fair. Well, dear friend, we serve a God who presents our flesh as it is, but gives us opportunity to get right with Him.
Amen.
And it's a choice that we have to make. Well, I might embarrass myself. Dear friend, I tell you what, I'd rather be embarrassed than stand before God.
Amen.
And God say, I gave you time, an opportunity, and place to come and to repent and to get right, get your heart right. I'd rather be embarrassed. I'll tell you what, we need to quit worrying about what others think of us and think about what He thinks of us. Will I be accepted of God? That's what I need. And then he demolishes their excuses in verse 8. Isn't that what preachers should do? God wouldn't save nobody like me. And then the preacher stands up and gives an example like Lot. Your excuses are gone. He demolishes, what is it? Verse 8. And begin not to say within yourselves. Don't bring excuses, John says. We have Abraham to our father. We're Abraham. Our father's father, Abraham. He demolishes their excuses. I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He presented condition where they were at, called for repentance. And just like human flesh always does, when we're confronted, what do? We make an excuse for what we're doing and why we're doing it. Well, Grandpa Jones and Grandpa Smith and Grandpa Johnson and Grandpa Price, this is how they did it, so it's okay. And God says to us, it's not what Grandpa did, it's what the Bible says. It must be the test of truth.
Amen.
Demolishes their excuses. Good Bible preachers demolish our excuses. Well, it's just not possible today to live righteous. And God said in Titus, in this present world, right now, you can live holy. It's not capable of us to be faithful It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Excuses demolished. I'm John the Baptist, was a plain pointed preacher. Then he laid it out, verse 9. And now also, the ash is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. He presented their condition. He called for repentance. He demolished all excuses they could stand there. And he said, listen, judgment's coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, dear friend. And after this, the judgment. Judgment's coming. Just like they thought it wasn't coming in the days of Noah. 120 years, Noah built an ark. Work, labor, make fun of, call names. He gathered all the animals into the ark and went into the ark. God closed the door. And here came the drops. Here came the rain. Judgment's coming. So you know what our problem is? We're not merciful. We're not gracious. And so when we see somebody doing wicked and God doesn't bring judgment upon their lives right then, we begin to doubt God. It's not our concern when judgment does come. But it's coming. Our concern should be whether or not I'm paving the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. My concern is, am I making it available by my actions, my lifestyle, the way I'm living and the way I present Christ? Am I preparing the way? Am I making the way straight, which was crooked according to verse 5? Or the mountains that people have built up, religious mountains, am I tearing them down with faithful living for Christ? So I'm supposed to be less like John the Baptist. He wasn't unique. The word of the Lord's come unto you and I, except we've got it sealed and canonized and read it and study it every day of our life if we desire. Then he gave some advice to the ordinary folks around there. They came around and asked him, what shall we do? Verse 10, verse 11, he said unto the common folks there and everyday people, and said, answer him, said unto them, he that hath two coats, let it depart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. In other words, he said, just be kind. Be kind. He didn't say enable. There was no enabling here. Be kind. Why? Be kind. Tender heart. Forgive one another, even as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Be kind. You see somebody in need, you meet the need, meet the need. Be kind. Then he says there to the publicans, verse 12. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto them, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. He told the publican, be kind. He told the publican, the tax collector, be honest. Be honest. You know what did he say, do away with the tax collector? Did John the Baptist say, you're wicked, you should close your office, there's nothing, you know what he said? Be honest. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you, it's tax season, right? Some of you done went down to TurboTax already. Done paid your money to try to get an early refund. You better be honest. You report what's right and what's just. Be honest. If it's good enough for the tax collector, good, dear friend, it's good enough for you and I who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Amen. Be honest. Be kind. Then the soldiers showed up. In verse 14, the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. What did he say? Do your job within the law and be content. Do your job within the law and be content. Is that what he said? Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. We know he didn't tell them to quit being soldiers. Because he told them to be content with their wages.
You wouldn't be a soldier if you wouldn't be getting a wage for a soldier if you weren't a soldier. Hey, be faithful, be kind, be honest, and do your job within the law. And I'm telling you, that's good advice for any career. Any career. Pastor, priest, on down to yard raker. Be kind. Be honest. Do your job within the law. And be content. Listen, don't do you a bit of good to run down your boss. If you're not content with where you're working, dear friend, put your resignation in and go find you another job. Don't get along with your other co-workers and stir up problems and trouble and talk bad about your boss. That's not godly. That's not. Put your resignation in and head on down the road and get you another job. Because I'm telling you, it's going to affect the way you serve God. You cannot be mean and hateful behind somebody's back and be right with God. Well, preacher, there I'm dishonest. Find you another job. God's able. God's capable. Well, preacher, it's paying bills and it's a good job. Close your mind, pray to God, and ask God to move your heart. Doesn't God say to us in the proverb, the hearts of the kings are in my hand? If he can control a king, dear friend, he can control somebody, your manager at Burger King. He can. He can control, listen, he is a God that's in control. Good advice there. Just be kind, be honest, do your job within the law, be content. Then he had a theme there in verse 15 through 18 in the ministry. His theme of his ministry was in verse 15. He would not yield to temptation to exalt self. Look what the people said there. They were expecting something. They mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ. And you know, at that point, you know what he couldn't do? Hey, look at all this attention I've given. He did not allow himself to be risen up in pride. He yielded to no temptation to exalt self. He understood this. There is one coming that's greater than I. Hey, we work for one that's much greater. What the Bible teaches us in 1 John, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. The Lord that we serve is much greater, far greater deserving than any attention that we can bring to ourselves. All attention, everything needs to be pointed to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. His theme was let God get the glory. I'll tell you, any ministry, any church, any Sunday school class, any choir, any group of people will humble themselves and realize that it's God that deserves all glory. No matter what the people expect, God deserves. That's what it says. They were in the expectation. People expect it. If we'll put God first, dear friend, God will exalt our church. And what's the results of his ministry in verse 19 to 22? But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for the evils which Herod had done, and yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was being baptized and praying, and the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove unto him. Upon him, and the voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The results of his ministry was he was able to minister for the Lord. So we're messed up with this results-oriented thing we've got. We think we got to have to see thousands and hundreds and countless of people lined up behind us desiring our knowledge. But what John's way of ministry was, the end result was this. One, I'm not worthy to even undo the latchets of his shoes. He was able to baptize. I'm going to tell you something. You humble yourself before God and you let God work through you, you'll be able to do greater things than you could ever imagine. Ever imagine. Here's a man and got his honey jar and locusts laid over on the bank. He's in wild camel hair, and the Lord comes to him to be baptized. It don't make human sense. There ain't no logic in it, does it? You know why it's like that? It goes to prove Scripture. God takes the basis of things, the humble things. I'm telling you something different. You want to be used? You better lower yourself before God. You humble yourself before Him. And when you do that, He will use you in a mighty, mighty way. Can you imagine that day as the dove, the Trinity here is revealed? The dove, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove down upon the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the voice from heaven, God in heaven saying, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. Can you imagine that day for John? You know what's amazing there? That God tells us about him going to jail first. That's the order there. I don't know a lot about English, dear friend. But that's the order. God tells us first. He ended up in jail. But then told us the end results. I'm telling you, it's amazing what God will do with you if you humble yourself. Then we're going to close real quick. I'm not going to cover all of these things. I'm going to say a few things about the genealogy. Chapter 3, verse 23 through 28. This is an amazing thing. If you was to go over to Matthew chapter 1 and look over there, you'd have another set of genealogy. And as you look through that genealogy, you would see that there'd be some differences. Around verse number 31 in the chapter we're in, there's a split that takes place. What we have here, we have the genealogy of Mary, and over here in Matthew have the genealogy of Joseph. Both of them from the tribe of Judah, both of them there, but there is a problem in the line of Joseph. If you would go quickly over to Jeremiah. Over to Jeremiah chapter 22. There's a problem in the line of Joseph. There was a prophecy that was made about this here particular line of Joseph. And you're going to see it here. And it's to help us to understand some things. In Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 28. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 28. Chapter 22 of Jeremiah, verse number 28. Is this the man, Coniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Do you have this man here? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 11, guess where this man is found? In the genealogy, there, in Joseph, in verse number 11. Mentioned. And Joseph begot Jeconias and his brother about the time they were carried away to Babylon. That's the same man, Coniah and Jeconias. That's the same one. If you go back, there's a little difference in pronunciation in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but that's the same man. He's there in the line of Joseph there. But if in Luke chapter 3, you find that Mary is split off out of the line of Nathan. There was a split. What was the curse? There's nobody can sit on the throne of David and rule and prosper. What was the promise of God? That God and the Prince of Peace would come, the government be on his shoulder, and he would rule and reign forever. Well, he couldn't do that if he came from that line. But in Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 31, which was the son of Meliah, the son of Mena, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Mary came from Nathan. Jeconiah, Joseph came from the other side of that split. That's the whole reason this is put in here, that we can understand that Scripture is true and absolute. Because God had promised that Jesus Christ would reign upon the throne of David forever. And he could not come from the other side of the line, because then the Bible would not be true. The Scripture is absolute truth. And it always interprets itself if we'll just spend time to search out the Scripture, guided by the Holy Spirit of God, allowing God to show us details upon details. So now we know the real reason that this lineage is here. It was to go back and to prove Jeremiah chapter 22 to be true. God knows what He's doing, church. He really does. When you get to read me, you know, man, I know I butchered those names. Lord, if those folks are in heaven, they're saying, God, can you please get him to a speech therapy class? I know I did. But God has my point. God puts things in the Bible so that we can have an absolute knowledge that He is in control. Let's stand our feet, church. I know I went a little bit long today, but I told you these long days will take care of the short days when we get out about 11:40. There will be one day we get out of here about 11:40 or so. That's when I start preaching at 11. But we're glad you're here. And listen, I don't know your need. I don't know your condition. I don't know where you stand before God, but if you're lost without Christ and you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, please come and let us take the Word of God and show you how you can know that you have a way to escape this place called hell through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through our church, not through my words, but through Jesus, the Son of God. Come deal with God, church. What page, brother?
165.
165, church.